This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Do appreciate you guys being with us here as we watch Miami. They're even winning the punting battle in this thing. It is 14-0 Miami over Ohio State. And when they do have to punt, they're pinning Ohio State deep. That said, there was a good, nice play right there to get them out from being pinned. So we'll see if Ohio State can do anything in the last minute and 15 seconds here of the first half. Of course, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Better. Better is the daily fantasy sports app. You can turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app right now. Sign up today, a free $10, no deposit necessary. Mike, I mean, even a field goal has got to feel like a win for Ohio State after what we've seen so far in the first, you know, basically the entire game so far.
Yeah, they would need more first downs on this drive than they've had the entire first half to get points on the board. So if you would end up with points on the board, you're very happy, as long as it's not a touchdown, which would make me very sad as I have under 20 and a half, and that extra point would sting a little bit. Can I make a complaint, Matt?
Shoot.
Immediately. Anyone who works for ESPN needs to let the graphics department know it is not cool to flash yellow up every time someone gets a first down. So like the little second and two,
yeah,
they go yellow over it all the time. I think it's a flag every single time this thing flashes yellow. Can we please not flash yellow over that graphic? Because I'm worried there's a flag every time it happens.
So Ohio State is moving the ball here. Now they're still on the bad side of the 50. So they've got to get some more yardage here to even have a long field goal chance. But maybe they just come out in the second half, Mike, and do what they have not done all year long. Because like you said, one of the slowest teams there is in college football. But maybe just play at a faster pace. Maybe play with your hair on fire or something like that, because they've at least moved the ball a little bit here on this drive.
Yeah, I mean, this is like we talk about this all the time in the NFL when we're on Sunday. We talk about live props. Mm-hmm. There are props for this football game, Matt. Like, I think it's worth looking at passing props, receiving props on the Ohio State side, because they are going to be passing the football the majority of the second half here. This is win or go home. They're going to throw right until the bitter end here. So I do think, you know, taking a look at what the passing numbers are going to be at least a little interesting as we head here toward the second half.
So we are now on the good side of the 50 for Ohio State. It will be third down, but still plenty of time. They have a timeout and there's still 45 seconds left. And so it does not look like they're playing for a touchdown here. It does kind of look like they're playing for a field goal as they don't run up to the line. They're kind of taking their time and whatever right now, as they let at least 13, 14, 15, 16 seconds tick off of the clock before they run the snap. They do get it off and they do convert. So I'm guessing we see the timeout right here at the 25 second mark. And
they're going to play through it.
Okay. All right. So I guess they're going to. So maybe trying to keep Miami defense out there on the field that they're having a little bit of success with. Oh, Miami has a timeout. I bet Miami called the timeout.
Yeah. I would think that is, they're going to call a timeout there right before the ball is snapped. Yeah. So the clock does not stop. But now they stop it to get that defensive line fresh. They did get some pressure on the last couple, but not able to get to him. The pressure forcing him to throw the ball short, though, not able to really take shots down the field and try and get into the end zone.
Yeah, so we have I guess they would try a super, super long field goal as opposed to throwing a Hail Mary. It seems like at this point, Hail Mary's at least these dudes' legs these days, Mike. I mean, you know, I know a college kicker.
Kicker's legs are good now.
I was going to say, like, I understand the accuracy is a problem with a lot of the college kickers, but like, you could put up a 55 yarder and he probably can get it there. Now, whether it goes through or not, whatever. But like, again, most of these dudes have the leg to do it. So I'm guessing you would at least do that as opposed to a Hail Mary.
I never understood why like these programs don't have like the elite of the elite kickers too.
Yeah.
Like if they're going out and getting the best, why not have like the dude with the iron leg that can kick it from 60 that's going to be an NFL guy? Like why are we leaving this off the list of things we are shopping for in the transfer portal?
Yeah, so I was actually looking at the value of players in the transfer portal, at least to what it was projected to be for 2026. Again, that opens on the 2nd or 3rd and runs until the 12th. And so, okay, they're within long field goal range now. So makeable long field goal range now. So there's the timeout, 15 seconds. They'll probably try to get a little bit closer again because it is still long field goal range, but at least a shot for Ohio State to put some points on the board before we head in for halftime here in this one. Worth noting, they do get the ball coming out after half as well. So they could try and double dip here, which is why they weren't, Mike, playing for, I think they weren't playing for the touchdown, knowing they're getting the ball back after half. They just want to get some sort of points, yep, not get reckless, and then go in, regroup, come out, and try to punch one in after halftime.
And because of that, right now, live game line sitting at 4.5. Miami favored by 4.5 over Ohio State right now, total at 37.5, plus 155 in Ohio State if you want them to come back and win. The fact that they get the ball out of half obviously affecting that line quite a bit, as Miami is up 14-0, and Ohio State has the football on the Miami 31-yard line here with 16 seconds left and no timeouts. So they do need to make sure they get out of bounds or can get a first down to stop the clock here if they're going to try and run more than one play.
Yeah, it is, again, the best drive of the game for Ohio State. And we say drive. They did have a huge chunk play earlier, but that was not a drive. But this is the best drive for them so far. And we'll see if they can. Oh, you cannot take a sack. Oh, saying. They had an arm
there.
Yes, they had an arm on his shoulder, and he did not have the urgency of getting the ball out of there. But he does step up and avoid the sack. Oh, Bane could have. Oh, my goodness. That ended the half, Mike.
Yep.
Bane got too good of pressure.
Top five draft pick.
He got too good of pressure is what happened, because he got past him. He was like, oh, wow, I just ran right past the quarterback right there.
He needs to wrap around his arm, legs there, upper body.
So I don't know. This is just waste the time off and throw it out of bounds, right? I mean, I guess you can try to just go sideline.
The clock stops.
Yeah, and you can just spike it.
Yeah, I mean, if you get 2 yards, the clock stops. That means you can spike it when you reposition. So to me, either way, 6.5 does the other. It's incomplete, 4th and 2. So Ohio State will line up to kick a 48-yard field goal to try and close the first half here and cut the Miami lead from 14-0 to 14-3. I'd say pretty good for you and I, Matt. You've got the plus 10. I'm looking at under 20.5 here in the first half. Let's just not get this blocked and return for a touchdown. We should be fine.
Let's wait until this kick gets
anything
off.
Before
we cash that ticket. It is college and college kickers and college everything
else. One last bad beat to close out the year.
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
It is
all
up.
Right, the snap.
And
we go. All right. It is up and it is – oh. Big pull.
Oh,
pull.
1 second.
That's one of the, that's one of my drives when I lean back instead of getting my weight going forward and I hook around it. That was a good pull hook right there by the kicker. So Ohio State will go to half scoreless in this game against Miami. Well, they do get the ball coming back.
They do get the ball, but we do have 1 second left in the half. So Miami now going out onto the offensive side could try and throw a 60-yard Hail Mary.
They better kneel it.
Or possibly just run the football up the middle or kneel it. I would prefer them to just kneel it.
Just kneel it.
But we'll see what they decide to do. As they were showing the replay, and the first thing Carson Beck said was, there's 1 second. Nope, they're going to take a knee. All right.
Yeah.
14-10, Miami at half.
There we go. So, wow. Again, the biggest deficit Ohio State has faced all season long. Mike, this was the scenario that we painted before this game started, which was, now, they have had one shot play in this game, I will say that, but that is not their offense. They are not a big play, splash play offense. This has been a slow, methodical, long drive, keep it close to the line of scrimmage, take advantage of their guys just beating their guys right at the line of scrimmage and just getting open real quick and taking advantage of run after the catch. I don't think they have to get away from that in the third quarter necessarily, because it is only 2 scores, but man, if we get to the fourth quarter, Ohio State might have to play out of their comfort zone, and this could just be Miami's game.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm an Ohio State backer, my bigger concern is not just what the offense has done, but the defense. That was this vaunted defense for Ohio State. They've given up multiple long drives to the Miami Hurricanes here. I mean, they got the touchdown drive, which we talked about, was a 13-play, 8-minute drive to score. The drive prior to that, which resulted or ended in a fourth down fumble, was an 8-play, 42-yard drive where they fumbled it on 4th and 1. They were moving the football in that drive as well. If Miami moves the football, that is going to lessen the possessions for Ohio State and force the urgency a lot quicker. Mentioned some of the in-game props for passing yards. Julian Sayin set at 102. So 101 and a, or three, I'm sorry, 301 and a half is his passing prop number. Right now he's sitting at just over 150. So he's at 157 yards. Would need to double that up. Feels like they are going to be more pass happy in the second half than what we saw in the first half. So I would lean toward the over there if you think Ohio State has an opportunity to come back here. And if you're looking at the receiving yards, Tate's over under at 57 and a half, Jeremiah Smith at 124 and a half. Those would be the two go-to guys if they're going to move the football. Tate right now at 23, Jeremiah Smith at 82 so far in the game.
Yeah, super, super interesting there. Before I got caught up in what was going on in the game right there, I was saying I was looking at some of the projected transfer portal values, and I guess like there are a few blue chip kickers that are going to be available in the transfer portal that apparently like cost like 200K. So like you could be a kicker and makes 200K. Yeah. I mean like 200K for a blue chip kicker in the transfer portal.
I bet Ohio State would pay 200 grand to make this 14-3 right now.
They're saying Sam Leavitt might get over 3 million is what they're saying.
Ooh, Sam Leavitt. Have your day, buddy.
he might get over 3 million in the transfer portal. Can you believe that?
Hey, that's crazy. What does Underwood get?
Well, if he transfer, I mean, they'll just come back to the table. You know what I'm saying? Like they'll just come back to the table, and so whoever paid him the first time will just pay him more the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have to.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Going to be fascinating.
It is going to be fascinating. And what else will be fascinating is this man's knowledge of college basketball. Greg's Hoops Peterson is joining us after the break, and we're going to ask him a random mascot and he'll probably know it.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is primetime here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We are currently at the half. It is 14-0 in favor of Miami over Ohio State. Yes, shut out in the first half. And Mike, with that, we are looking at a live line of just 6.5 on Miami because Ohio State does get the ball coming out in the second half. If you think Ohio State comes all the way back, plus 210 and a live total of 35.5.
Yeah, Miami money coming in there as we're seeing the juice roll over toward the Miami side, minus 120, minus 125 on the minus 6.5, minus 7.5 in the second half for Ohio State right now, sitting at minus 105. So you can get Miami there at the second half dog at plus 150 or minus 115 on the plus 7.5 as the first deficit at halftime for Ohio State on the season as well. So facing their largest deficit of the season and their first halftime deficit here in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff.
Now joining us here on the program as he does each and every Wednesday, kind enough to join us on New Year's Eve, it is Greg Peterson, Coast to Coast Hoops Podcast at GUnit_81 over on the Twitter machine. Greg, appreciate the time, buddy.
I always appreciate you guys. And now we're getting into conference play. And as college football winds down, that means the next college sport up is college basketball. So I'm very excited for that.
We have delayed you throwing back a few brew pops. And so we appreciate you doing that to join us here at 6:15 local time out here. So still plenty of time for you to get in some of that here in the festivities. But we're going to kick things off with North Dakota in Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts in what city, in what state?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
There we go, buddy. Eagles. Well done. There we go. What you like in that one?
I am going to be taking a look at North Dakota here. They opened up as a pickup. Now I'm seeing them even as high as like a 2 to 2.5 point favorite. And even if you're getting the worst of the number, I'm still willing to lay it, mainly because with Oral Roberts, they're having ball security issues. They're right around about 320th in terms of turnovers on a per possession basis. And this North Dakota team, they're not doing the world's greatest job in terms of defense. North Dakota is about 270th in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, but they do one thing well. 39th in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. You have an Oral Roberts team that just really doesn't have a lot of rebounding either. Other than you two Yamanachi Williams, who, remember, he was a good three-point shooter a few years ago over at Portland. You really don't have anyone else that gives you more than 5.2 rebounds per game for North Dakota. It's been a little bit mix and match, but Eli King has done a nice job in terms of headlining this offense, keeping things relatively clean there. Right now, I'm seeing that total right around about 150 or so. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that under, and I'm willing to lay the small number here with North Dakota, the old Fighting Hawks.
All right, we're going to bring in Matt here for the second game as well. We've got Lipscomb taking on Jacksonville. Matt Brown, what is the mascot at Lipscomb?
The mascot at Lipscomb is the Bisons.
Yes. Hey, there you go. There you go. All right, who you
like?
You
want to know why? Because I've asked Greg this before. I'm pretty. You bet Lipscomb a lot, don't you? You like you some Lipscomb.
Oh, yeah, I love me some Lipscomb. Yeah. Out there in Nashville, Tennessee, I actually used to do, when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, the high school broadcast for Lipscomb Academy as
See,
well.
See, I knew this story. That's what I'm saying. See, I knew this story. That's what I'm saying. You bet Lipscomb before. That's how I knew that.
That's why I brought you. I knew you'd know it.
Absolutely. And with Lipscomb, the big reason why I like them is that, once again, you've got a team that does a nice job valuing the ball, top 20 team in terms of fewest turnovers on a per possession basis at home. And Jacksonville's just wretched with their offense. Outside the top 290 in terms of points scored on a per possession basis, nobody on this roster is giving you over 10.5 points per game. And for Lipscomb, they go to the Division II route to make a little bit of coaching change in the offseason. They've done a nice job in terms of being able to find some versatility with a guy like your Grant Aspen at 6'10". He shoots in the mid-30s from three, gives you about 14.5 points per game. This is a Jacksonville team that has been relatively okay on the glass, but you don't have that dominant rebounder. Nobody on the roster gives you over 5 rebounds per game. And I think that Lipscomb is going to do a nice job being able to generate turnovers as a top 75 team in terms of turnovers on a per possession basis. So took a shot here on Lipscomb. Right now, find that right around about 11.5. I'd be willing to lay closer like 16 or 17. I think that there's a nice edge here with the Bisons.
Central Arkansas, and this is Florida Gulf Coast. You're gonna play this two different ways.
Absolutely. I like Central Arkansas here on the money line. Right now, they're a slim 2.5 point underdog. I'm going to bypass the points. I personally am going to take them outright on the money line, and I do like the under. Central Arkansas has always been a very up-tempo team, and they're still playing with some pace, about 93rd in the country in terms of total possessions per game. But for Florida Gulf Coast, they're traditionally a very slow and controlled team. All of a sudden, they've been in the top 50 in terms of total possessions per game, but now they're getting back to their roots. They've been playing at a rate of about 5 possessions per game fewer in their last 4 games, so you sense them having a little bit of changeover. And for Florida Gulf Coast, 75th in the country at 3-point shooting percentage at 36%, but have a Central Arkansas team that's done a nice job guarding the arc, top 125 team there. And for Central Arkansas, top 55 team in terms of generating turnovers on a per possession basis at home. They get back Cameron Hunter, who he missed a year due to injury. He was their top scorer about 3 years ago. He's come back. He's been able to breathe some life into this program. Central Arkansas is not necessarily a great three-point shooting team, but they're good at pile driving the ball inside. Florida Gulf Coast has been outside the top 200 in terms of opponents' two-point shooting percentage. So like that under, and I like Central Arkansas here on the money line.
Greg, as we approach one of the bigger drinking holidays here real quick before Mike jumps in, what's the most overrated beer that you had in 2025? Like, I mean, I know you like you some beer. What was the most overrated? Like, it was a lot of hype, and then you got it, and you're like, yeah, this is just fine.
I think that I had this in 2024, but the Alchemist, I know that a lot of people are big on Heady Topper. I'm more of a Focal Banger guy when it comes to the Alchemist personally. Heady Topper, it's fine, but I don't know if it's quite worth the hype. Give me the Focal Banger or give me some Treehouse any day.
See, look at that. There we go. Mike, we're making people smarter out there, not only from a sports betting angle, but like avoiding, like fading the overhyped beers.
The Treehouse angle was very good there. The little brewery up in the Northeast. Love me some Treehouse. There's one in back in Saratoga. Go there every time I go. I'm going to stick on beer here. Are you going to pop champagne? Are you going to crack open a beer when we hit midnight?
Oh, I am absolutely going to go for a few beers. Now, I can't drink too many because I have a spot at 4:30 a.m. and we have to be of sane mind when we're doing our 4:30 a.m. spot. So we will responsibly have one. Heck, I might go with a non-alcoholic beer as well, because I know that we've got designated drivers out there, which we salute you for your service, especially on this night. It actually is a very good service that these people do. So we're probably going to go with like one or two beers. I might go with a non-alcoholic beer and make sure that I'm all good to go for 4:30 a.m.
Let's go to, let's go to Weber State and Portland State, because I'm just going to skip through here and just talk. I want to nitpick these games that, like, you know, obviously everyone's betting, and I can't imagine people not betting Weber State and Portland State.
Oh, everyone's huddled around the television for this one. And with Portland State 319th in the country in terms of total turnovers on a per possession basis, they've not done a great job in terms of taking care of the ball. Now, Terry Miller is giving you 17.5 points, shooting it really well from three-point range. But outside of him, the three-point shooting is hit or miss. And Weber State at home is shooting 39.7%. from the outside out there in the great state of Utah, with Portland having to head on out there from Oregon. That's a lot of travel. And Weber State has been really good at home, shooting 39.7% from three-point range. Has become a little bit more of a hole is greater than the sum of its parts team, but got a lot of guys like Nigel Burris and company doing a great job down low. They're allowing opponents to grab only about 22% of their misses as an offensive rebound at home. So the second chances that typically Portland State gets on the glass, not necessarily going to be there. And Weber State has really sped themselves up. Last year, outside the top of their area in terms of total possessions per game. This year, inside the top 100. So with Weber State, I do think that they find a way to get the job done. Last I was seeing, they were actually a very small underdog in this game. If I can get them as an underdog, like them out the right on the money line, if I find them more around 1, 1.5, would be willing to lay that small number.
All right, I'm gonna be selfish here. I want to hear about the Santa Barbara Gauchos. We've got UC Santa Barbara heading in to take on Cal State Fullerton. I've yet to be to the Thunderdome, by the way. I've got to go to a Thunderdome game. Give me a good game. Just shoot me a text. Let me know when a good game's here at UCSB. Have to check it out. But what do you like here? University of Santa Barbara taking on Cal State Fullerton.
Right now, I'm seeing this line at 5.5 plus. I will be taking the points with Fullerton, but I'm really in on the under here because you've got a tempo war. Fullerton is fifth in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Santa Barbara is 306th. And for both of these teams, they're outside the top 275 in terms of their opponent's three-point shooting percentage, but second chances are going to be at a premium. Fullerton is allowing teams at home to grab fewer than 18% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. Santa Barbara, fourth in defensive rebound percentage away from home. Teams are grabbing less than 21% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. Santa Barbara also pretty solid in terms of generating turnovers. We've seen this Fullerton team really crank up their tempo, but not yielding a lot of points outside the top 240 in terms of points scored on a per possession basis. So we're seeing this total above a 160. I set mine more around a 156. I like that under.
He is Greg Peterson. You can find him over on the Twitter machine at GUnit_81. And of course on the Hoot, on the Coast to Coast podcast as well. Buddy, go pop you one. Alcohol. It's only 6:30. You got time. Sleep it off before the 4:30. Appreciate you being with us, man. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. And once the podcast is done, we do not drink until the work is done.
Oh, look at Greg Peterson. Always the consummate professional. Guys, head to better.app or download the Better app, BETR. Go in, use promo code VEASAN and get a free $10. You do not even have to deposit, but when you do, we'll give you a 50% deposit match up to $200. Turn that sports knowledge into cash over at Better.
This is VEASAN Primetime on VEASAN, the sports betting network.
Primetime here on VEASAN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, 14-0 at the half. Miami over Ohio State, 6.5, the live line in favor of Miami, 36.5, your live total. Though people were taking that money line, even though we didn't see the spread move, Mike, the money line down to plus 195. So people foregoing taking the plus 6.5 on Ohio State and betting that plus 215, which is now down to plus 195.
Yeah, just playing into the variance, right? If Ohio State able to sling it around the yard and you're able to get that defense, get some stops, maybe they can come all the way back.
So that's what we're looking at here again. Halftimer is very long in college football. So we will probably, we'll probably be at halftime well into the new year, but we'll see if we can't get this game going before it's all said and done. Now, kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line, John McKichnie. He is at RotoWire at John's underscore tailgate over on the Twitter machine. John, appreciate the time here on New Year's Eve and Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, Happy New Year to you guys as well. Anytime I can come on with y'all, I'm a happy man. So let's talk some ball here.
Yeah, and we were talking, you know, off air that you were pretty shocked as to what you saw in the first half here. Is there any interest at all from you taking the 6.5 with Ohio State, or even just the money line here at 2-1?
I think Ohio State can absolutely come back. I think it was a huge squandered opportunity for Miami to not go up 3 scores going into the half. You know, they had the ball inside plus territory with about like 2:30 to go or so. Ohio State was obviously good defensively getting the stop and wise with their timeouts as well to kind of like stop the bleeding, as it were. And then, you know, that punt happens and you kind of feel like, okay, like Ohio State's just not going to threaten here. They're just going to go ahead and kind of get us to halftime. But they really pushed it. I know they missed a field goal. I know that it can kind of take the air out of the balloon, as it were, you know, with Ohio State building a little bit of a momentum that they hadn't really had for much of this first half. But I'm, you know, have you seen Ohio State play this year? I feel like, you know, that you let them get a little bit and they're going to take a lot. So I think that this is going to be a half where Miami is going to be on their heels. I think the defense in particular is going to have to need to continue to heat up Julian Sain. I think that's been kind of one of those great untested unknowns throughout this entire season. I think during the regular season, even through the Big Ten championship game, Ohio State gave up 11 total sacks this year. 5 of them came in the Big Ten championship. So Julian Sain's a guy that like hasn't really had to like deal with a lot of pressure throughout the course of this year. He's been sitting back there delivering the ball to Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. If Miami is not able to force the issue, I think that, you know, that this game could turn pretty quickly, especially if Ohio State comes out, scores a touchdown on their first drive here. I think that Ohio State comes out and kind of gets this thing done.
Let's move forward tomorrow to the Orange Bowl, which is going to be our first kickoff, 9 Pacific, noon Eastern. We've got Oregon taking on Texas Tech. Oregon, a 2.5-point favorite, despite being the higher seeded team here in this one. What do you like about what do you like in this spot?
So I'm going to have to stick to my guns up on this one. I've been a big fan of what the Red Raiders have been doing all season. They're sort of this weird, interesting team that they're kind of a product of the new era of college football, where they're able to just, you know, kind of bankroll their team into being relevant in a way that we have not seen from Texas Tech basically since the Michael Crabtree days, and before then, not really ever. But the thing about this Texas Tech team is it looks a lot different than that, right? Like, they are arguably the best front seven in college football. They get after you. You got Romello Height, you got David Bailey, you got Jacob Rodriguez, who is, you know, in the running for the Heisman as a middle linebacker. That's a serious front seven. Now, where I get a little bit concerned here is that what's a running theme that we've seen through the expanded college football playoff? That long layoff, it has not actually paid dividends for those teams that had the extra rest. I mean, last year, clean sweep, different setup. Of course, you know, you had Boise State having a bye. You had Arizona State having a bye. But Ohio State, you know, they're down 14 at the half as well. So I think that there is like that rust factor, and Texas Tech just hasn't been here before. So Oregon being able to, you know, having played in the playoffs several times, including last year, I know it didn't go particularly well for them, and then getting off the schneid right away in the opener with their home game against James Madison, like, they're going to be kind of a little bit more like rolling. So I think that there's like some kind of intangibles here at play that are kind of hard to quantify. I think dollars to donuts, I think Texas Tech is the better team. I think that defense, when a defense is as good as Texas Tech is, I think it can kind of be like that tiebreaker that you look at when a spread is as tight as this one is. So I still lean Texas Tech, but that Texas Tech defense is going to need to establish itself early here, because I'm not sure that Texas Tech is ready to play a game where they're getting punched in the mouth defensively right off the jump, and the offense is going to have to respond. Barron Morton, a fine enough quarterback, not a guy that pushes the ball deep down the field. They're more comfortable just kind of playing with the lead We're going to have to see what happens here if Oregon's able to establish it early, get ahead of Texas Tech. But ultimately, I am trusting on what I've seen from this Texas Tech defense. I think the Red Raiders win this one in kind of a close, ugly kind of rock fight. I think that's the kind of game that they want to play.
Talking to John McKechnie of RotoWire. John, we have Alabama now out to a 7.5-point dog in three of the major books out there right now. 48.5 is the total there in that one. Have we gone too far on the other side of a touchdown for Indiana here?
I think so. I think that this has jumped around just enough to where I think if you wanted to, I don't think that there's been a lot of reasons for to doubt Indiana necessarily this year. Like, they obviously haven't given you honestly any. I mean, they've beaten Ohio State. They've come through in tough circumstances against Oregon on the road, against Penn State on the road. They've blown the doors off basically everybody else. So I understand the confidence in this Indiana team and the metrics. If you follow FEI, if you follow SP Plus, they have this as a double digit win for Indiana. My thing is, Alabama's Alabama. And I know it's not Saban Alabama anymore, but I think that it was huge for Alabama to get down by 17 points on the road in Norman. Are you kidding me? And just kind of dominate the entire rest of that game. That, I think, gives the Tide a serious amount of confidence here and a serious amount of momentum. Again, not super quantifiable. I'm speaking kind of soft science here, but you kind of need to use that stuff when you're talking about college football and college kids here. Man, that Alabama offense, when it's rolling, it's pretty serious. And I think Indiana, you know, kind of in a freak accident, lost one of their key defensive linemen in the celebration after the Big Ten championship game. I don't think Indiana has a lot of depth. I think that's kind of the thing that you need to really realize about this one. They're like starting 22, as good as anybody in the country. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But the problem is, as this game wears on, 60 minutes, Alabama's bringing it to you. They've got guys, four-star, five-star type of talents that they can roll in and keep everybody fresh. I think that's going to make this game a little bit closer than the books and the action that is kind of correlated with that would suggest to you, where, you know, this was what, like seven pretty much the entire time. Now we're pushing the other side of a touchdown. I'm taking Alabama with that many points against Indiana.
Got about a minute left and one more game to go over here is Ole Miss going to take on Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. This was a 43-35 Georgia win when we saw that earlier in the season, flying over this proposed total of 55.5. Right now, Georgia installed a 6.5-point favorite. Is that too big of a number? And do you think we see the shootout like we saw there earlier this season?
I know that as far as like the action splits are concerned, that I think this is the most lopsided one. And I think it's interesting that it hasn't moved at all. I think that tells you that Mississippi is could be very much in this game, or at least the books tend to believe that. Mississippi's offense, I think, is one of the best in the country. Georgia's defense, of course, has looked bad and good at different points of this season, but I think it's gotten crucially better here down the stretch. You look at that Texas game, you look at that Alabama game, generating pressure in a way that they weren't in the first half of the season. I think the defense looks a lot different in this spot. I think that especially when you compare it to the first Ole Miss game. So Georgia's defense shows up. I think that offense, I just can't really see Ole Miss particularly stopping the run here. So I like the over in this game more than anything, but I do think Georgia wins this one. Maybe not super comfortably, but comfortably enough to cover that spread.
He's John McKechnie. Find him over at RotoWire at John's_tailgate over on the Twitter machine as well. John, appreciate the time and happy new year, brother.
Gentlemen, happy new year. Thanks again.
Guys, like we said, this is it. If you want to get in for $79, everything we do now to May the 1st, you got a week to do it. So you got to go in right. Why wait? You're sitting at home right now. I'm trying to catch you in a vulnerable spot. You probably had a few adult beverages. So like, just go ahead, go in. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's only $79. It's only $79. You probably spent more than that on that bottle of wine that you're drinking right now. So go in, take advantage of it. Everything we do now to May the 1st, all the picks, all the splits, all of the projections, all of everything. VSiN.com/subscribe. Ohio State is in the end zone. They have points on the board. Update you when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. 14-7 now as Ohio State takes their time getting down the field, as we talked about, Mike. But that said, this one did end in a touchdown. So they did what they had to do after missing the field goal at the end of the half. They at least go down, take the ball out of the half, and punch it in 4-7. A very nice drive for them, actually, considering how poorly the first half went for them.
Yeah, nice mix of run and pass there, able to make plays when they needed to on third downs, but just kind of matriculated their way down the field. Chunk play to Smith there in the middle of it through the air that helped them cover quite a bit of ground. So good drive for Ohio State, what they needed coming out of the gate here. And as you said, now it's on their defense. Like, can their defense get a stop? Because we saw Miami consistently move the football in the first half. Is this defense going to come out and be able to answer the bell as well to get the ball back for this offense?
2.5 on the live line in favor of Miami. 37.5, your live total. Money line now down to +105 on the Buckeyes.
You kind of feel like the Buckeyes are coming back, don't you? Like, as much as I don't want to say that, you kind of are starting to get those vibes. Big second down pass deflection. So 3rd and 5 for Miami. It just... I don't trust the Hurricanes to be able to close this out.
So I just saw what you were talking about. What is ABC doing as they're making the little transition on the down marker, a yellow flash? What are they doing?
Right? Like that, isn't it ridiculously annoying?
Who approved this, and why did this get through? Like, this had to have been a chain. Like, you don't know. No graphic designer just goes, yeah, we're just rolling with this no matter what. Like, 5 people had to approve this. Did nobody think about the viewer? Did nobody care about us as a viewer? Like, that looks like a flag.
Into or come out of a replay, it looks like it is a flag. And that, because a little football comes down and hits the where it says third down, which is also where it puts flag, and it turns yellow. And like, it, if you are like, we're kind of trying to watch as much as we can. But at the same time, you look up and you see that. You're like, oh, there's a flag on the
play. Well, the problem is,
no, it's just the ridiculous.
So I've got it, you know, so here you are on this one, and I've got it here. So both my peripheral visions only see these little flashes of yellow come up. And I'm like, you know, whatever. Actually, the first half didn't have a single penalty. So it's like, I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm like, what's going on? There wasn't a single penalty in the first half. So it was actually really clean.
Well, I'm glad you saw it. And your immediate reaction was like, that should not be a thing.
Yeah, I'm just like, goodness gracious. That being said, Miami has converted a couple of at least one first down here whenever I looked up. So they did not go 3 and out, which would have been, I think, really could have shifted this thing. So at least they're making the Ohio State defense stay out there, play a little defense, and have to defend them. They're out to basically to midfield now. So no matter what happens on this drive, it would be another long, methodical drive from, but that first down was converted. Down inside the 40 now on a nice run. So here we go, Miami. I mean, this was a first half that was completely dominated by them. Ohio State gets the ball, puts together a very long scoring drive. That said, Miami takes it back here, and it's a couple of first downs and are now on the good side of the 50.
Yeah, like we said, it's not just the offense that needs to step up for Ohio State. The Miami offense was dominating this Ohio State defense in the first half, only had 7 points to show for it, but had multiple drives deep into Ohio State possession. And they were able to run the football well enough to kind of force the Ohio State to start committing resources from the secondary up. That allowed them to pass the football. We're kind of seeing the same thing here, right? We just saw a nice Fletcher run. We saw a Fletcher run for 6 the previous play. They're able to move the football on the ground against Ohio State, and that's going to force Ohio State to commit more resources up and give back chances in the passing game.
So let's head to the NFL. Saturday games both mean a ton, obviously. Carolina on the road at Tampa Bay. This is majority 2.5 juiced. There is 1.3 at FanDuel. So if you're looking for an expensive 3 on Carolina, that's where you want to head. 43.5 to 44 is a prevailing totals out there in the market with this one. So you kind of know what is at stake here. Carolina wins, they're in. They lose, they're not out, which is the weird little wrinkle in all of this, because nobody expected the Falcons to beat the Rams, but that's what happened. And the Falcons can go ahead and beat the Saints and send the Panthers to the playoffs no matter what happens on Saturday. Mike, Carolina knows this. It's in the back of their head. Is this at all going to mess with how? I mean, I know you just win and you're in, but like, man, I almost would hate it as a coach for my team to know that there's a bailout.
I don't think it's that big of an issue. Not in this specific spot. This is clearly a win and you're in situation for the Panthers. They have to get the job done. You don't even talk about the Falcons scenario. You just say you go out there, you take care of business. You do what you can control, because you can't control whether or not the Falcons beat offensive rookie of the year Tyler Shuck, who's looking to win five in a row for the New Orleans Saints here. So you got to go out there and just try and take care of business for the Panthers. I have got more concerns about the Bucs, Matt. This Bucs team, when you look at the last eight games for them, they are 1-7. You've got losses to the Saints, losses to the Dolphins. Baker Mayfield looks like he needs six surgeries next season in the offseason before we can go out there again. You don't have like the what we saw with Mike Evans 2 weeks ago completely was missing last week. This is a team that has just lost itself, completely lost its identity. I can't lay it with Tampa. I want the three with the Panthers, and if not, I'll tease it up. But there are going to be threes, I believe, before this game kicks off.
So Miami gets stalled on the drive, trots out their little chunky kicker from 50. It is up and good. So it is now 17-7, out to a 10-point lead here for Miami. A nice, a very nice 50-yard field goal by their kicker, who struggled in the wind there at A&M, but gets this one up nice and clean and through the uprights from 50. So 10-point lead now for Miami late in the third quarter. Yeah, I mean, Mike, this is one we talked about in the teaser segment. I don't love teasing week 18 games, mainly because there is so much wonkiness, but this one's going to be played pretty straight up. So if you find another one that you like, I am A-okay taking the 7.5 or 8.5 with Carolina, depending on if you want to ask for 5 or 6 from the books there in that one. This Tampa Bay team, I don't know, is currently capable of winning at margin really against anyone. And like you said, I mean, hats off to Baker. He's playing through whatever he's playing through, but he is obviously not the same. And you can look at that scoreboard from and box score from last week. And yeah, he threw for over 300 yards. What you didn't see, a couple of really bad picks, a couple of airmailed balls. It's just stuff we didn't really see from Baker last year. I'm pretty sure he is playing injured, not hurt. And I just don't think this offense is capable of putting together multiple really good drives, and this defense hasn't played up to par either. I think Carolina probably will be able to chew some clock. I think Carolina will probably be able to put some points on the board too. So I'm fine with taking Carolina in a teaser if you find another leg that you'd like to pair with them.
Yeah, again, I would take them just +3 if you can find the +3 before kick, but you can wait it out the clock. And if you don't get the +3, you tease it up to 8.5 and you find a friend, right? I don't even mind Carolina on the money line. This is a Tampa Bay team that knew how to win football games early in the season. They found ways to lose later in the football season. It's a Carolina team that has found ways to win the majority of the time when they're in those close games. So I think Carolina has success running the football in this spot. I think Carolina has the better defense of these two teams. And again, you mentioned it. I mentioned it. Baker's hurt. He is legitimately hurt. He's not the Baker we saw, the MVP candidate the first 6 weeks. You're dealing with a completely different person over the last month and a half. It would be Panthers or pass, money line, 2.5, 3, teaser, all of it, because I think the Panthers win this football game.
Yeah, is there any prop angle to this one? I mean, it seems like Baker was very comfortable throwing to Godwin again, and it seems like Godwin is at least somewhat healthy. Maybe the only way I would look at this game is through that lens. Bucky Irving couldn't get off last week at all. I mean, I don't know why.
It would be Baker passing yards, because you get to encompass all of the wide receivers for me, because we saw Godwin have a good game a couple back. We saw Mike Evans have a big game 2 back. Last week it was McMillan who had 110 yards receiving. It seems like it's someone else who gets going almost every single week. So instead of trying to, you know, throw the dart and pick the right wide receiver, to me, I would rather go ahead and say, hey, I'm just going to take Baker, because I think they're going to have to throw it to move it. And I don't think they get out to a big lead. I think they're either pushed or they're chasing, and that's when you're going to see them throwing the football.
Guys, if you think you know sports, get paid for it with Better Picks, daily fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, more or less on your favorite player stats, and if those picks hit, You win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. You don't have to deposit to take that $10, but when you do deposit, you get a 50% match up to $200. All the sports, golf, UFC, NBA, WNBA, Major League Baseball, soccer, all of the sports out there. So better.app, better.app, BETR.app, or the Better app today in your app store of choice. Promo code VSiN for that free $10. And of course, to get that deposit bonus as well. Again, this is 17-7. Miami has kicked it back to Ohio State. We'll see what Ohio State can do here on their second drive of the second half. And we continue to run through each and every NFL game. It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.